Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the October 2023 Fall Family Retreat held in Pipestem, West Virginia.
All right, my name is Lisa Smith, and this class is on having more meaningful prayer. If it's so simple, why is it so hard? All right? I have this if we want me to. Can you guys hear me pretty well? Everybody can hear me? We're good? All right. Quick a little bit about me. My name is Lisa Smith. I live in Virginia. I am an early morning seminary teacher, so I actually absolutely love teaching about anything that has to do with Jesus Christ. I love teaching the youth. I do love the youth. I actually was a high school teacher earlier, and then I ended up homeschooling my own kids. I have 5 kids. And anyway, that's enough about me. So we're going to start off with talking about prayer, all right? Those are really powerful images that we saw there, okay? And why is it that we get emotional? Why are we moved to tears, at least I am, by watching total strangers reunite with other people who are total strangers to us? Like, why does that move us? Why don't you think about that for a minute? Like, why is that powerful? Why? You think about it, we don't know them and they don't know us. Like, they're strangers. Why is that so powerful to watch these images? Yeah?
We can put ourselves in their shoes and be like, what would it be like if my mom were away for X amount of time?
Yes.
Came home one day without me knowing.
Yeah.
You can kind of empathize with them with your own mind.
Yes, and I want to give you, like, props because I teach the same kids in seminary every day. And, like, I'm like, come on, who's brave enough to answer? So props to you. Good job. I love that. Yes, definitely. You can put yourself in that. Like, we have the capacity to, you know, to be empathetic and to feel what they're feeling and to put ourselves, like, how would I feel? I love that. Any other thoughts on that? Like, why is this so, you know? I like that a lot. I mean, I think one reason is because we are something within us, like, that we long for that kind of soul deep connection, okay? We are designed. We are built for connection and relationship. That is part of how we are created. We were created for relationship, for soul deep relationships, okay? And again, am I loud enough? Everybody can hear, okay? Okay, so we are created that way. We long for that kind of reunion with beings who love us and whom we in turn love that deeply. We were made for that. That's part of who we are. In our soul, we know that we are longing for that kind of connection, okay? So now I want you to keep hold of those thoughts, and we're going to pivot and ask another question, all right? So hold on to those thoughts of this idea of just that longing for connection and reunion with beings who love us. We're going to pivot to why do you pray? All right, I'm going to give you guys 30 seconds. So I actually asked this question. I have 5 top answers that we gathered up, okay? So you guys have 30 seconds. I want you to see, just talk with your neighbor, your friend, see, like, we're going to see if you can find any of our 5 top reasons I got, why do we pray? So 30 seconds, go, talk about it. See if you can list up. What comes to your head? First thing to your head, why do you pray? Let's see how many of you guys can guess of my top 5 answers. All right. All right, should we try? Go ahead, shout out some of your reasons. And I'll try to, I know this is being recorded, so give me some thoughts and I'll try to repeat them. Why do we pray?
Gratitude,
very good. Peace, I like that. Comfort.
So we can have that connection.
To have that connection to God, excellent. Yeah. Another hand?
Answers.
He still was answering. That's good. You guys are like in sync. I like that. What else?
Answers.
Answers. Find answers. Very good. Yeah.
Bless the food.
Bless the food. Yes. Like, we can't lie. Like, right? We all pray to bless the food. Yes.
Because I'm struggling.
Excellent. Yes.
You want to talk to your father?
Talk to your father. Excellent. These are fantastic ideas. You guys are like going a little deeper than my class did. This is good. Okay, I like it. You guys like the creme de la creme, but you already knew that, right? So, all right, I'm going to get to the answers, top 5 that I got, okay? In no particular order, but here are a couple of them. One was, I'm just commanded to. Like, I'm supposed to do it, you know? Like, I'm commanded to. And that's a good reason. Like, we are commanded to pray. It actually is, we are commanded. It's not just a suggestion, okay? Another reason, it's a habit. I think part of that answer on the food is, like, it is kind of a habit we get into, okay? It's something that we do because we just, you know, certain events in our lives kind of trigger, you know, like, oh, prayer time. You see a plate of food? Prayer time. Or time for bed? Prayer time. Okay? Another reason, I hope God will bless me. Or I'm asking for things that I want, that I need, that I have struggles, concerns. Like, I'm wanting to have that chance to talk to God. Okay? Another reason is I feel guilty if I don't. Okay? I have to admit, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm lying in bed and I'm like, all right, I did not pray. Have you ever, like, been in bed and you're like, I didn't pray, and I feel guilty. And it's a struggle. Like, do I drag myself out? Can I pray from a prone position? Is he okay with that? Like, do I have to actually, like, these are wrestles I have, okay? Like, real wrestles, okay? And to express gratitude, we heard that one, okay? And these are fantastic reasons. Some are better than others. They're all real reasons, okay? They're all definitely reasons I have prayed. They're legitimate. I want to share two more. You guys have touched on these, so I like that. I love that we're already moving down that path. Two more that I want to share today that I've been thinking about. So what if my husband, when he was coming home from work, he gave me a call, and if he listed the reasons that he calls when he's driving home from work or when he's traveling, his reasons were, well, I am commanded to. I got to call my wife. Or it's just a habit. Like, I just think of calling you sometimes. Or I hope that I'm going to get blessings, or that you can, like, do the laundry for me or have a meal ready when I get home. Or, you know, how would I feel? I feel guilty if I don't call you. Like, what would be the state of our relationship? Like, you know, it'd be kind of poor, right? So what is the reason that you think I would like to hear? And I said, why do you call me? What reason would I want to hear?
I love you.
Yes, because I love you. Thank you. Yes, of course. Like, that's what I want to hear, because you love me, right? And so it's the same for our relationship with God. And you guys mentioned that. We pray because we love God. And it's an important way to maintain a relationship with God. Okay, prayer is like one of the most fundamental, essential ways that we hold on to and build and develop that relationship. Okay, so let's add that to our list. And let's go back to the video we were watching. The families in the videos, they weren't, that first family we saw with the little girls and the mom, and they were not video conferencing their dad or their husband because the army told them they were supposed to, or because they wanted him to do something for them, or because they felt guilty if they didn't reach out to him. They did it because they loved their father and their husband, and they wanted to make sure that they stayed connected to him and that they stayed relevant and involved in each other's lives. Even when they were separated by great distances, they wanted to make sure that they were relevant and connected and tied into each other, and they stayed close, okay? And that's why they were doing that, and that was the, you know, that is the reason that we pray as well, to stay relevant, connected. Like, we are so far from our Heavenly Father, from our heavenly parents, our heavenly home. Like, we're so far away, okay? In terms of, like, it's just, I mean, it's hard to remember. None of us can probably, and if you can, I would love to talk to you after class, but probably none of us can peel back the veil and remember what it was like to be with them, to feel that love directly, to be having these one-on-one conversations, okay? But we want to stay connected. Now, Heavenly Father has told us how he feels about us, and I could have you guys, you know, list all kinds of scriptures that talk about how God feels. One of my favorites I'm going to show you guys, it's one of my favorite scriptures about how God feels, and he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, right? That's from Jeremiah 31:3, where God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. What a great thing to have him tell you that that's how much I love you. It's always, it's forever, it's always been there, and it always will, okay? Now, there's an old and I want to say, too, like, it can be hard to keep feeling that love if we don't find new experiences that allow us to feel that love over and over again, okay? If he tells us one time, and that's all we ever hear, it can be hard to hold on to that, okay? Like, being told one time is good, but it's hard. There's an old country love song by a singer named Susie Boggess, which probably no one's ever heard of, but she's got a great voice. She sang a song a long time ago, and it's called Love Goes Without Saying. So you guys hear the expression, it goes without saying. What does it mean if I say, oh, it goes without saying? What? Exactly. It's so obvious, apparent, that it doesn't have to be said, because it's just so obvious. It goes without saying. But she did kind of a twist on it, which is what you do in a country song, is you always kind of do a play on words. And so in her song, she says, love goes without saying. But what she's saying is not that it's so obvious, you never have to say it to me. What she's saying is that she's lamenting that her partner doesn't tell her that he loves her. And so she sings, love goes without saying. And she means love leaves. If you don't say it, it goes. Love goes without saying. And so you have to tell people you love them, or the knowledge and the surety and the confidence in that love might diminish. It might go away. All right? So we need experiences with God, expressing our love for him and receiving expressions of his love for us, his divine love for us, in order for us to remember and feel confident in that love, okay? Now, God's love for us will never go. It is everlasting. It's never going to go. But our capacity to tap into that love and to feel it and to respond to it may fade if we do not interact with God on a regular basis. And I'm sure all of you have friends, relatives, you know, people you know. Maybe you yourself struggle. I have, you know, members of my family who are on all levels of their connection with God. I have those who have completely moved away, and they no longer believe in God at all, and they have no connection to God. They are confident there is no God. I have others who have beautiful, you know, these beautiful loving relationships with their Heavenly Father. So we follow all along this gamut, okay? God's love is unchanging, but we have different capacities to link in and tap into that love, okay? So we pray so that we can remember that we are loved and cherished and valued and important and precious and wonderful, and that that's how God feels about you. So that is one of the reasons that we pray, all right, just so we have that knowledge. All right, now I want to share another reason that we pray, and it's kind of an intriguing one. So we're going to have a little experiment up here, all right? So I will show you. All right, so turn this around. You guys can see it. What I have here are tuning forks, right? Just want to have. All right, there we go. You guys can see that. All right, so these are tuning forks. I'll go ahead and turn the light on. So a tuning fork is kind of cool because I've got two different tuning forks at two different frequencies. So I'll go ahead and I'll strike them. All right. Lovely. And when it stops vibrating, the sound stops. Okay, and here's another one. And again, when I stop vibrating it, the sound stops. All right. So as soon as I hold it and I stop it from moving, that vibration stops, and so then it begins, the noise will cease. All right, I'm going to go ahead and take this off right here. This has changed the frequency a bit. So now these two should be at the same frequency. All right? Okay. Now, here we go. I'm going to tap this one on the right. Okay, well, actually, it's on my right. That would be your left. Here we go. I'm going to tap it. Why is the noise still going? Okay, the one on the left, did I touch it? I didn't touch it, but it is vibrating. Okay, let's try the other way. Here we go. Okay, so the one on the right is resonating, vibrating, but I never touched it. What happened?
It's usually the same frequency, so when one ring on its frequency, the other one automatically reacts to it.
Exactly. I knew someone would be really good at physics. I would know the answer to that. Excellent. So, yes, they share the same frequency. And so now that their frequency is the same, so before they did not. So if I tapped one, the other didn't do anything. But now that they share a frequency, if I tap one, the other will respond and begin to vibrate all on its own without ever being touched at the same frequency. Pretty cool, huh? All right, so what does that have to do with prayer and with us? Any thoughts on that? Where I'm going with that? Yeah. Oh, I love that. See, this is why I ask questions, because, and I have a belief that if anyone ever says to you, like, what is the meaning? Even with the scriptures, like, what is the, they use the definite article. Definite articles are like the, right? And indefinites are like and some. If they say the meaning, they are really boxing themselves in, and they are shortchanging themselves, because there are so many meanings. So I love that. I love that. Say that again. So I want to hear that again.
When we feel loved, we radiate that love to others, because then we want to express that love to other people. Because when we feel these things, that need is met, then we can share that with other people.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So as we feel that, we send that out to other people. I love that. Thank you so much. That is beautiful. That's fantastic. Any other thoughts? I don't want to cut anybody short from brilliance. Yes.
If we're on the same frequency as Heavenly Father, then we can continuously hear Him.
Yes. And that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, as we become on the frequency that Heavenly Father is, we hear Him. And that's what He desires of us, is that we come into alignment. So one of the purposes, the reasons that we pray, is because it allows us to come into alignment, okay, to bring our thoughts and our desires and our understanding into alignment with God. And so that help our mind and our will reach and stretch and change to become like His. Okay, and that is one of our goals. That is our goal, is to become like God. Okay, so we pray to, I think I actually have a slide for this. Yeah, so we're just trying to kind of bring ourselves because you can't really see with the lights on. But anyway, we are praying to bring ourselves into alignment with God. Okay, that's one of the reasons. Now, sometimes, definitely, I do this where I pray. My prayers are really an effort to bring God into alignment with me. Have you ever had prayers where you're like, so the older I get, the more, so when you are your age, there are no more magical words than agency, free to choose, okay? When you are a parent, they lose their luster. The words agency are no longer quite as exciting because you have these people that you love that now get to go use agency, sometimes well, sometimes poorly, and you are a bystander watching this happen in their lives. And it is challenging, okay, because none of us uses our agency well all the time, all right? And so as I pray, I notice that, you know, as my kids make decisions, some that are not good, some that are dangerous, some that are, you know, like, and I realize more and more that I'm often praying to bring God into alignment with me. I have this great plan, God. Here's what you can do. And it's like, I'm the brains behind this, and you're the brawn. I have some great ideas. I'm going to tell you my thoughts. If you could just kind of move it along into my, what I like, that would be great. We'd all be in a better place. And I'm often finding myself really trying to get God on board with me, like I'm trying to get him aligned with me. I will tell you now, it doesn't work, all right? He is not going to shift to let me rule the universe. So it doesn't happen. But we all do this. We want to get God aligned with us, okay? And the purpose of prayer is opposite. We want to get ourselves aligned with God. It is a more challenging process. It requires a lot of humility, and it requires a lot of trust, okay? It is a really humble process to let yourself, to let go of your desire to be in charge and believe that God can do this. And it is, there's a lot of humility, there's a lot of trust to really believe God is doing this. He really is doing this on a timeline I don't understand, in a way I don't always perceive, but I really believe he is good at his work and he is going to do it. So there's a lot of humility and a lot of trust. And then there's a lot of beauty that comes from really finally believing I have a Heavenly Father who is so able to do what he promises me. And I can let go of my need to try to force and coerce and to, you know, to need to be in charge and just let him be God. And it is a beautiful process. And I know when I was younger, there were things that, you know, things I was supposed to do and things that I, you know, there's always those things that you're supposed to do, like read my scriptures better and say my prayers and things. And then just, you know, my own nature, like, oh, I shouldn't gossip. I shouldn't be unkind. I just, you know, you shouldn't be doing what you should be doing. And I felt sometimes like it was hard. Like I was always going to be trying to, like, almost like white knuckle my way to heaven because it was just hard. It was hard to be Lisa. Was really not, you know, like I wasn't the person that was going to show up there because I wasn't, this wasn't who I was. And so I was always like pushing against myself, pushing against my desires. Like, oh, I don't want to say my prayers, but I will. I don't want to read my scriptures, but I'm going to try. And what I have found, and the scriptures talk about how one of the beauties of as we do these things, as we try, as we put forth effort, that God helps us to change. Even our desires change. I can say now, a few decades down the road from you guys, that your desires change, your hearts change, your minds, your will, like you become more and more and more into alignment. I am by no means, I'm not a perfect replica, but I'm a lot closer, okay? Like I resonate a lot closer to the Lord now than I did when I was 15, okay? It's easier. It's a lot easier, okay? Because I'm trying. I'm always working. Now, just like with our tuning forks here, there are things that can prevent us, okay, that can kind of block that so that our resonance is definitely, you know, it's out of tune, all right? And what could those be? What could it be that, you know, like blocks us? And obviously, whenever we say, well, what could it be that kind of holds us back from our best spiritual outcomes, we always go right away to sin and disobedience, right? Those are always kind of the go-to answers. Well, sin. And definitely, obviously, right. You know, and all of us have things that we're, you know, that are thinking of, you know, sin really means like what's holding you back, okay? Sin doesn't just mean like, oh, it's, you know, you're a bad person. It means what's holding you back. Definitely those things are not going to help you. But I want to think, you know, kind of beyond that, that you know, we can move beyond just those simple answers. Things like anger, sorrow, discouragement, self-criticism. You guys were all in that talk at 9 o'clock opening talk. Okay, like definitely like self-criticism. Obviously, like that moves us way down from, you know, so far from having our hearts and our minds and our wills aligned with God. And good old distraction. Okay, like I am a child of the Dewey Decimal System. You even know what the Dewey Decimal System is? It's like when you used to have to, yeah.
Oh, it's like at the library.
Yes.
Numbers.
Yeah. So when you used to, like, say you want to do a report on sea otters, okay? You didn't go to your Google and just type in sea otters and have, like, 8 million responses and videos and cute sea otters. You have to go to the library, and you have to look up, like, in the Dewey Decimal System, like, okay, like, it's in, like, you know, it's in, like, animals. Well, that's, like, in the 700s. I'm making that up. I don't know what it was, but, you know, whatever. And then, like, where, like, sea animals, and then where marine, okay, then where, like, you narrow it down, like, 740, 741, 742, whatever. I made that up, but, like, that's otters. And then you'd go to that part of the library and find the books in the 742s, and you'd pull out, there's, like, one book on otters, okay, or, and it just took forever, and you just didn't have a lot of access to knowledge. So if you've grown up and tried to, like, write papers in the Dewey Decimal Age, you are so in love with Google. Like, I love the internet. I love the internet more than you can believe because I know the difference, okay? Like, if you've seen Stranger Things, that was my world. That was, like, the best. That was the 80s to a T. Like, that was the world I grew up in, okay? No internet, none. I mean, like, so when I first discovered, like, oh, my gosh, Googling, I love it. We live in the best age. Don't let anybody tell you guys that, like, it's too bad you had to, like, to live now. No, it's you're the luckiest people in the world, okay? You live in the best time, in the best place. Just rejoice. You're so lucky, okay? I love this world. I love being alive now, all right? It's fantastic. But it comes at a cost, okay? It comes at a peril, all right? All of us have a constant distraction in our pockets, okay? And it is really hard. I mean, even for somebody who, you know, like, I don't even have an Instagram or an account, but, you know, I have so many things that do not distract me. I still am distracted, though, just by, it's hard, okay? It is hard. So it comes at a cost. And all those things serve to keep us out of alignment, right? You have to be proactive and be pushing back. If you want to be aligned with God, you're going to have to carve out a space for Him, okay? I think, you know, 30 years ago, it was a little easier. We were walking around in a lot of space, okay? Now, you don't have any space. You've got to push back and carve out a space if you want to have a space with God, okay? Because it's never just going to, you're never just going to find yourself with no stimulus, nothing around you, and nothing to do, okay? So you're going to have to decide and push back. All right, so having said all that, I want to talk quickly about just a couple tips. Like, what can we do to make prayer, what are some actual, you know, some tips, things we do to make prayer more meaningful, more powerful, all right? We know that it is good and essential to pray. We talked about why we do it and how we can, like, what our kind of like high-level goals are. But how then do we go about making our prayers more meaningful, all right? So I'm going to share a couple things here. Can you go ahead and turn that light off again for me, please? Thanks. I've just got a couple quick ideas. Number one is, and this actually it aligns perfectly with your talk this morning, all right? So when you pray, what's a really good way to pray? Going back to our talk at 9 o'clock? Pray out loud, okay? We are, so that's fantastic. We're like all in sync, me and the previous speaker, okay? So, yeah, pray out loud. There really is power as, was Thomas Blackwell, is that the right name? Yeah, fantastic speaker. Yeah, our words are powerful, as he said. Pray out loud, all right? I can't always, and I shouldn't, you shouldn't always do this, okay? But it makes a difference when I do pray out loud. If you remember when he talks about Joseph Smith, he's talking about his experiences in the Grove, was it the first time he prayed? Of course not. But he did say it was the first time that he'd done something. It was the first time he'd done what? Anybody know? Prayed out loud. Yeah, it was the first time he'd gone and prayed out loud. All right, and that was powerful. I'm not saying that the first time you pray out loud, you're going to get the same response, but it is powerful. And I found that when I pray out loud, it's different. Okay, and just like I love that, those of you who were in that 9 o'clock class, it was fantastic. You saw that thinking things is not the same as saying things. Okay, there's an act of creation that comes from speaking. So when you pray, sometimes it's good to find a way to go to a private place, be on your own, and pray out loud. It is different. Studies show that talking out loud helps people to focus and remember what they're thinking about. Like you remember things better if you say them, okay? And if it helps us learn, of course, it can help us to pray. So now I've discovered that my prayers are much more focused, much more, there's just a difference than when I can pray out loud. I feel like I really am talking to God directly. So that's one suggestion I have is to take time when you can and pray out loud, okay? Another thing, this is actually my favorite thing. Unfortunately, my slide would not work. I tried it 15 times. It doesn't work. This is my favorite thing. My favorite, or for me, like it's been a powerful reason. We talked about how when are times when we all say prayers? We mentioned over here, like, before you eat, you say a prayer, right? When else do we often pray?
Before meetings,
yes, to start it off. We just did that, right? To get like a good spirit in. What else do we often pray? Family prayer, very good.
In the morning?
Uh-huh.
When something's troubling us?
Excellent, very good, yeah.
For everything.
Like it says in, yeah, we should pray over our flocks and fields all the time, right, yeah.
Before we go to bed,
very good, yes.
When I'm feeling grateful for something.
I love that, yeah. Have you guys ever done like a gratitude prayer where you just say things you're grateful for? Have you done that? It's interesting, like, because it's like, once you start, it's like a snowball, and you're like, and this, and like, you just, I'm grateful for everything. Like, that's a great way to pray. Yeah, I love that. Okay, well, I want to talk about one time that was mentioned over here at the end. What's your name?
Nora.
Nora is, like, so in sync with me. You're giving me all my answers, so thank you, Nora. So, like, one of the times that we pray is I always know I'm supposed to pray before I go to bed, and I love all your answers, because really, like, we should have this idea of prayer being an ongoing thing is so true. But I know I'm supposed to pray before I go to bed, all right? And if your nighttime prayers are working for you, then that is fantastic. And keep going just as you're doing it. My nighttime prayers are not working for me, and they hardly ever do. One reason is because, like, I'm an early morning seminary teacher. You guys, I'm sure, we're all here on the East Coast. Probably everybody that does seminary has an early morning, right? Like at a heinous hour, like 5:45 or 6 o'clock, right? So just getting there, and I'm the teacher. I actually am not scared to teach, but I live in constant fear of missing seminary because it's like unforgivable if I don't show up, okay? So that is my fear. I wake up like at 2 o'clock, not yet. 3 o'clock, not yet. And again, I'm not scared of teaching. I'm scared of missing. So by the time when it's nighttime, time to go to bed, like I'm stressed about getting to bed, okay? So a beautiful thing about homeschooling is, like, we make up our own schedule. The whole world's on a bus schedule, and we're like, oh, silly people on a bus. What do we want? What do we want? Like, we're in charge of our schedule. And then your oldest kid turns 14, and you're like, what? Seminary? And all of a sudden, like, screech, it comes to a halt. You're like, you have to go on the seminary schedule because that's when it is. And it's like a game changer because before that, we're all just like, we're swimming in time. We do what we want. But now we're all getting up, starting the day at 5 o'clock. To get to seminary. It's a game changer. I love seminary. I teach seminary. I'm a fan of seminary, okay? But it does change everything, all right? So for me, that means that at nighttime, we finish our homework or do our chores, we brush our teeth, we, you know, wash our face, put our jammies on. What is the last hurdle, the last thing I have to do before I get to bed? Pray, all right? And so my slide doesn't work here, but I love this picture. Okay, can you guys see this? So for me, I have turned prayer into the last hurdle between me and the thing I want, which is bed. I've made it into that last final hurdle, okay? And I just got to get over that hurdle, and I can get in bed. And I've actually missed the hurdle and been in bed and thought, oh, man, I did not pray. I need to get out of bed and pray. Those are not good prayers, okay? They are so perfunctory. They're like, okay, where were we? I'm all right, yeah. We got to wrap this up because I got to get in bed because I have this many hours till seminary. And so they're not great prayers. And I know this. Okay, so I have turned my bedtime prayers into the last hurdle between me and the thing that I want, which in that moment is bed. So for me, I realize that I sometimes give God my worst time. I take the worst time of the day and I say, God, this is for you. All right? When I have so little to give and I have no desire to talk to anyone, I'm giving it to you. And obviously, it's not a great way to do it, okay? So I have tried to make sure that, you know, I don't take time when I'm tired and anxious and winding up the day and have that be my meaningful prayer time. Now, that doesn't mean that I still can, like, kind of be like a quick and a short prayer, like kind of like a rounding out the day and a little bit of gratitude and thank you. But I've tried to make sure that I have that, so that the point here is timing my prayers better. I'm trying to find a better way, a better time when I can really talk to God. So that my nighttime prayers, maybe you're just a little short, sweet, round it out, but I have to find a time that I can actually communicate with God because it's not going to happen for me before bed. If it's working for you, keep it going. But for me, I've realized that is never going to be a time of deep, meaningful conversation with God because it's not a good time for me. So that kind of goes into my third reason here, which is, that's my slide that wouldn't work, is an appointment. So make an appointment with God and then keep it, okay? Select a time and a place that works for you. Be really intentional about when can I pray with God. And then that place becomes a sacred place and a sacred time for you as you come to know God, and that's where he reveals himself to you. So I'll give you two quick examples of this. So years ago, I worked at the World Bank in Washington, D.C. And I, so we had, like, I had my little lunch break was kind of my only time to really kind of be on my own. And I was young, and I was really trying to kind of really push my, I wanted to be, like, a better person and, like, you know, become more in alignment with God. And I remember thinking, like, there was a book I'd heard of called Jesus the Christ, and you've all heard of it, and, like, it's, I had never read it before. And it's actually on the LDS, you know, it's right there on the app. So I was like, I mean, I didn't have an app back then, but it's a good book. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a copy of it, and I'm going to read it. And I had, like, a long commute in on the metro and back, but it turns out the metro is not a good place for quiet pondering and being with God. So I was like, well, that didn't work. So I was like, well, I have my lunch break. It's 30, 45 minutes. So what I would do is I would go. Now, every building, including this one, has a stairwell. No one uses the stairs, okay? The higher up your building goes, the less they get used. No one uses stairs. They all use the elevator. So during lunch, I would take my Jesus the Christ and my marking pencils, and I would go and I would sit in the stairwell with my little lunch sack, and I never got bothered, okay? Like, ever. No one uses the stairs. So it was the most private place in the entire World Bank building was the stairwell. So I would sit in there, and I would just say a prayer, and then I would read and mark and think. And it actually, like, I honestly think this is like one of, this isn't the actual picture, but it looks like this. It is like a sacred place to me because that is a place where God revealed himself to me, was in the stairwell of my work building. Because every day, and I came to look forward to it, and I had never been a passionate scripture reader. But as I did this, and I put time, and I made an appointment with God, every day at lunchtime, we're going to meet in the stairwell, okay? All right, I'll see you there. And as I did that, it became this really beautiful place for me, and I have such warm feelings for the stairwell in the World Bank building, okay? I love it because I came to know God there. He revealed himself to me in really beautiful ways, and I loved it, okay? I don't work there anymore. I'm not there. So I have turned my closet into, if you are a mom, like, your kids are always like, Mom, Mom, Mom. When you first have a baby, the most beautiful sound you ever hear is, Mom. And then after a few years, you're like, if I hear that word one more time, I'm going to get crazy. Mom, 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 Mom. So I would go into my closet where I'm like, no one can find me here. And I would read and pray and think. And, like, it became beautiful to me, okay? Like, I love my children, and I love hearing the word Mom still. But I also like to have time when I can just think and ponder and pray. So find a place or a time that works for you. I still say nighttime prayers, but I have made sure they're not my only prayer where I try to connect with God. I find a better time for me that works, okay? So find a time that works for you, all right? Next suggestion is to come prepared, all right? It's interesting. I remember we had a lady in our ward named Rita. She was a convert, and I remember the first time, she was this darling, darling woman. She was an older woman who, she was just this just-so person. She was, like, really precise and just-so in everything she did. She was a convert, and I remember the first time she was asked to say a prayer in sacrament meeting, and this was, like, overwhelming for her because it was, like, a big congregation. And so I remember she got up to say the prayer, and she came up. Now, I grew up as a member of the church. I have said a million prayers and watched people say a million prayers, and so I just know I know the routine. She got up and she unfolded, crinkle, 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 this piece of paper, like, place it on the podium, and I'm like, well, that's interesting. And then she read this prayer, and it was like the most, I don't think I've ever heard a more beautiful prayer, because she just talked to God for all of us, and she just went on talking about all these things that she'd been thinking about and that she was happy about, and it was a beautiful prayer. And I was like, I didn't know you could do that, like, wow, you can write it down. And it was just, but she came fully prepared. She had thought about what she wanted to say to God and was ready to say it. Okay, and I thought that was really interesting. I have another friend, and she was, at one point, she was serving as the young woman's president over her ward. It's a really big ward. So she had like 40 girls. And then, of course, she had her family, and she actually has a huge family, like so many nieces and nephews and cousins, a huge family. And then she's also, she has work and all these different things she does, like works in the community. I mean, so she had all these different people over whom she had a stewardship. And so one day she wrote down on a piece of paper everybody over whom she felt a stewardship. Put them all on a piece of paper, and then she placed it next to her bed. And she said, the night before I go to bed, I'll say to the Lord, okay, who do you want me to be focusing on today? And she said, I will scan that page, and certain names will pop out at me. And it's like, okay, that's what I'm going to pray for. Thought that was really interesting. Okay, and again, I'm not saying this is how we should do it, but I'm saying the idea that we can kind of prepare ourselves. I read of a girl who goes through the day, and as things happen to her, she writes them down so she can go back and talk later about them with God, because they were things that intrigued her, or she wanted to say thank you for, or whatever. And she'd like keep a running list. I thought, how interesting. So we can kind of like be prepared for that. And that ties into our last one, which is keeping a prayer journal. This is kind of different, but the being prepared is includes like thoughts and jotting things down ahead of prayer. And this latter one is like writing down your impressions and your thoughts during or after your prayer. What just happened in there, okay? President Nelson just said, our prayers can be and should be living discussions with our Heavenly Father. I've actually prayed in my closet and had my laptop. And I'll actually, like, be ready. And I'll, like, type things down. And it's almost like a place of, like, meditation and pondering. And it's just kind of like we just kind of sit down together. And I'll label the time and or the day. And I'll just type whatever I feel, whatever I think. And it's been really interesting as I kind of, it's almost a contemplative practice, you know, like where I'll kind of pray and wait and think. And I don't always have thoughts, but when I do, I'm ready. I'm a big, huge, firm believer in having a notebook with you at all times, because when I go to church, everyone at church knows that I have a notebook, a journal. I have a journal, and I take it always to church. Everyone in my ward who's spoken, all the youth, everybody is in my journal, because if you show up showing God, I fully expect something amazing, revelatory to happen today. I am ready. I'm expecting a revelatory experience. I have a pen. I've got paper. I'm ready. It always happens. It always happens, okay? So show up ready to receive something and showing God, and if you tell me something, I'm going to treasure it. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to keep it. I'm ready for it, okay? So we can use our prayers as a place to gather information and to receive. I'm almost out of time. I want to share one quick story, one of my beautiful prayers. One time I was going through a time in my life that was like just a lot of challenges, it was actually one particular challenge, and it was just kind of ongoing. And a lot of the things that occur in our lives, you'll find they don't wrap up quickly, all right? They just kind of go on and on. And so it's almost like when you're praying about it, it's almost like you kneel down and it's like, yeah, the number seven again. Yeah, the number seven. You know what it is. I know what it is. But I pray about it every day, and it just went on, and it never changed. And one day I knelt down to pray again. And I just felt so exhausted. Like, I can't even bring myself to say the words again. Like, I'm so tired of saying the same need to you. And so as I knelt there, I just said, this is so hard. And it was an instant answer. I felt these words come to me. And the words were just, the words that I heard were, I know. That was it. And it was like such a comfort, because the Lord was saying, I'm not going to change it right now. Your circumstances are not going to change. But I know it's hard. And just having that answer, that him saying, I know, was so meaningful and so beneficial, just to know that God's like, yeah, I know. It's okay. I know. And so we don't even have to have, God doesn't have to fix our problems or change our circumstances for his prayers to be meaningful and powerful and transformative for us. Okay? So in closing, because we are out of time, but I just want to close up by saying that I want to share again from President Nelson. He said, we create a relationship with God that allows him to bless and change us. And the focus on that word allows him. You allow God to bless and change you. Think back to our words this morning from Brother Blackwell, that we have agency. We allow, through our words and actions, we allow God to bless us. He will not override us, but we can let him. We can allow him to bless us and change us. And in closing, I'm learning to pray in ways that reach deep into our soul and connect us with loving heavenly parents that are beyond our sight can be a challenge, but it is so infinitely worth it, all right? And surely that is why BYU President Kevin Worthen recently said to students, do not be part of what would surely be the most tragic of all stories of unrequited love by refusing to feel the transformative, soul-changing love that God and Christ offer you. Please let them love you. And may our own meaningful, powerful, and transformative prayers be part of that story of perfect love from our heavenly parents, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.